Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech, the white power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, enjoy the Spirit.
We want you to be so influential in our lives so that your influence upon our lives can also be contagious, that we can also move within the space of our influence and introduce you everywhere we go like a sweet smelling aroma that can be perceived from our lives. That is why we are here. If we are anything below this, we are asking you for help. That's why we want to be taught. That's why we want to see you. That's why we want to walk with you. Lord, once again, we're very grateful. We say thank you, Lord. Lord, tonight, do not leave anything that we call sacred to us. Do not leave any idol. Do not leave anything that can stand as an impediment or a barrier. Touch everything until we are totally lost in you. That's where we want to be. Help us tonight. Help us in whatever way you want to do. Bring us your breath. The breath you brought from the beginning that made man a living soul. Bring that breath by your spirit. No man can do this. No teaching of man can do this. But you alone can do this. So I come to you, God, as very ordinary, yet that you can walk through the ordinary thing. And I'm asking you, Lord, for help tonight so that what we do in a moment here tonight can become a monument in the spirit. That,
Lord, we will find you most important. That's our hunger.
That's what we want. And thank you because you will do that for us. And for you have made us able ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letters, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Thank you, Father. For our competence is not of ourselves, but of you. Blessed be your name forever. We forbid the influence of Satan in this atmosphere. You have no right here. You have no memorial. We rebuke your participation. The mighty name of Jesus. Lord, Spirit of the living God, have a free course. Think through our hearts. Think through our thoughts. We give you access to every part of our being. We open up to you, both the speakers and the hearer. Think through our heart until we arrive at your word. Until we arrive at your word. Thank you, Father, because you do more than we ask for. For we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Can we put our hands together and celebrate Jesus? As you take your seat comfortably. Amen and amen. Please help me make somebody welcome to God's presence. We have an assurance that wherever two or three of us are gathered in his name, he's there with us. So we know Jesus is here. Hallelujah. I want to salute the elders in the house. My elders, fathers, Egbons in the house. Pastor Bello and his beautiful wife, my pastor, Pastor Sheyi, and my mommy, thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Ogidon. Hallelujah. You are one of the people that makes me have hope that at least I still have a way that God has used me to touch people's lives. Somebody called me recently from the U.S. and said, do you know, everything God used to tell me is playing out. I said, I can't remember. We just say those things. Sometimes we don't even know where we've said those things. It's just for you to know that it's just God speaking through our vocal cords and communicating to people. But it's also a privilege. So thank you, Pastor Ogi. And where's your wife? God bless you. Yabeji. Amen. Every other pastor in the house, I appreciate you. Pastor Daly and Baba Samuel, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Amen. I may not be able to do songs because I know you are expecting me to do songs. Eh? So maybe tomorrow, because I just perceive tonight we should have more of a robust interaction. I may not do something very spectacular. Forgive me. Forgive me, because these days God needs to shock us by not just getting the regular excitement. And God needs to be very deliberate about that. Okay? Because the Word of God is not about our emotions. It's way beyond that. And some of us always want to be emotional. We always want to say, ouch, left. It doesn't mean you are catching anything in the spirit. Because you have an emotional response does not mean anything is happening to you spiritually. And we need to really awaken you to realities of the things of the spirit. Okay? And one of the things I feel seriously obliged to in the recent times, especially with the youth, I wouldn't have done anything less than coming to Akure. I would shut anything now. Because I know that Akungba folks will be here, Exu folks will be here, Futa folks will be here. And we know things that happen around you guys. And because we are a bit experienced and we have been through some of the things you are going through, we feel obliged to come and talk to you too. So, interestingly, I have promised myself that nothing... I was thinking there was going to be a seminar in London this weekend. And I told myself, I will turn it down. I told some of my colleagues that seminar, I'm not likely to be there. They said, you can't miss it too. I said, let's wait till then. Because I feel that I owe you. Seriously. I feel that I owe you so that we can address issues together. Amen. Okay, let's sing hymn. Amen. Say hymn is all right now. Holy Word, for our war in this, there is sound with us on high, O ancient world. War of life, was of war, Jesus Christ, help us grow in this world. Now, I want you to look at that verse of the song, because that's where we're starting from. Word of life, word of hope, give us strength, help us cope in this world where we roam. Ancient word will guide us home. So I want you to sing it. Don't just hum it. So sing it, be very deliberate about it. Sing it as if you are praying to God. Can we do it together? Words of life. Word of strength, help us hold. In this world,
in this world,
where we roam,
there we roam.
Oh, ancient world,
ancient world, we guide us.
Ancient world,
ancient world,
ever true. Come on.
you.
We have come with open heart.
Oh, let the ancient world hear.
And you put your hands together and to celebrate the Lord in His word. Hallelujah. We have to come with an open heart. If the word of God must profit us. One of the dangers of that I have perceived in the church today is that Satan deliberately affects our reception, the way we receive the word. You know, so many of us, we talk about Satan, but we don't know Satan. Satan is known by devices. Satan is not just one ugly beast that appears in the dream, or the one that is in your village that people go to put palm oil on top. No, those are, in fact, Satan does not want to be visible. That's why it shows all those images. Satan can really be fine. And can really be acceptable. And one way to really hold Satan and deal with him is to know his devices. So Paul said, lest we be overreached, lest he take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. We have to identify the devices of the enemy in order for us to be able to escape. And one major device of the enemy is that it makes us not receptive. We become, our heart is affected. We can't receive. Okay? And it's dangerous. It limits us. And Satan takes advantage of us. Now, there is a way I can come now that you are not used to. And you say, what is he saying? Why? Because Satan makes people's heart not receptive. If you look at Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, I'm going to address that before I go into the Zion issues. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, Paul was coming to the Corinthians. The Corinthians the Corinthian church is an excited church, and it's a church that thrives on giftings. It's a church where people can give word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all kinds of things. In fact, he even got to a point that there was no orderliness within the Corinthian church, according to Paul's letter. And one of those days that Paul was addressing them, I don't want to come from the top. Let's go to verse 6. After addressing the issues of charity, he said something. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? What shall I profit you? Except I speak to you. Now, every man that is called of God into this ministry, gifts, I mean, what you call the fivefold ministry, they are basically preachers. They are basically what? Preachers. And the Spirit of God works through them to accomplish His own purpose of edification. And the Spirit is not stereotyped. The Spirit operates through major instrumentalities of preaching. And they are outlined by Paul in his statement here. He said, if I come to you in tongues, what shall I profit you? He wasn't telling them that speaking in tongues is out of place. But if I am really coming for the purpose of edification, it won't profit you much if I speak in tongues, because all of you will not be able to comprehend at once what I say. He said, but if I am going to profit you, I'm going to use three major instrumentalities of a preacher. He said, except I come except I shall speak to you either by what? Number one, revelation. Or by knowledge. Gnosis. Or by prophesying. Or by doctrine. And these three instruments, none is superior to the other, and none is inferior to the other. Are you here? But you can be tilted to one. So when somebody is just giving you an education in teaching by gnosis. Gnosis is bringing in knowledge that is applicable. Applicable knowledge. Somebody can come here, like whenever Pastor Sheyi is talking, you can be sure you can get something practical to take home. It's just like he tells you how to loosen your television and fix it back. That's knowledge. He gives you a know-how. It just tells you, do this, do this, do this, do this. But another person can come with a revelation. A revelation is something that is always in there that you never know. It's uncovering. It's still by the instrument of the Holy Ghost. But knowledge operation is not superior to revelation operation. A revelation operation is not superior to. So every time everybody, some of you are tilted towards, where is revelation? Where is an uncovering? It is Satan trying to cheat us. Are we here? Or he said, I can also come to you through prophesying. It is legitimate. If the Lord thinks the way of education of that time is by prophesying, he will use his mouthpiece for prophesying, which is foretelling and foretelling. So speak forth a momentary word that is in the heart of God for the moment. It declares it forth and it comes with authority. It is called prophesying. It is not superior to bringing knowledge. Or doctrine. Basic foundational truths of the kingdom established through doctrine. These are operations. But you see, because of some of our emphasis, some of you, one of the errors I find among us these days is for us to do improper evaluations. An improper evaluation is based on saying something is superior to another. All have the same effect of edification. The purpose of Jesus is to build his church. When he employs any instrument, it achieves that end. Even some might be more exacting than the other, it is not more superior than the other. If somebody comes and says what you know, it might be coming to reinstate something or to establish it. God does not make a mistake. It might be coming for the purpose of emphasis, not repetition. And you see, even we that are preachers are in trouble these days because the demand from you is compelling everybody to want to come and say something new. And it's drifting us gradually into errors that we are not recovering from. And it's a dangerous last day syndrome. Because the scripture says in the last day, you will have it in here. And therefore you will what? Heap up teachers for yourself. So the ordination of ministers in the last day will be according to the template of the people. You will determine what I will be saying. And I have said no. I will say the things the one that sent me asked me to say. Preaching is not fancy. Neither is it the rave of the moment.
Anytime preaching becomes fancy and the rev of the moment, and the elements of it is still looking like an in thing, be careful. Satan might be involved. And I have to address this issue seriously because of our growth and development within the kingdom. I have even learned, Pastor was telling me yesterday that some people came to him and said, the letter, the epistle of James is superior to the epistles of Paul. Amongst you, I'm serious. You are so grown. You have grown so much. Even Paul was writing to Timothy, said, all scriptures are inspired. All. There is no New Testament, Old Testament. Old Testament is not as a result of being obsolete. That's not why it's called old. It's just in terms of progression. Every scripture Paul the Apostle used were from the Torah. Okay? So they are relevant. Some of you say milk and meat. You say it on the basis of superiority. It's not on the basis of superiority. It is on the basis of administration. It's on the basis of means and administration. And we need to nip it at the board in order for us not to dive into the ocean and be taken away. And you know why I have to quickly say this is that some of you might not be receptive because of the manner with which I present the word. I may stop at prophesying because that might be the need of the moment. And you will say God is not in this prophesying thing. God is only in revelation thing. Or you say he's only in doctrine thing. This is not God. We must bring balance to you in order for you to develop into who you ought to be in God. Say with me, all scriptures are inspired. That was what Paul wrote to his son. He said, all scriptures are given. All. And when he was talking about scripture, I even learned that some of you will say that one of the things you told me today, you know you are closer to the people. He said some people said if you read only the epistle, you are done. You don't need the rest. By divine providence. Hello. You don't understand why I'm saying all these things. God will help us. By divine providence, this document was given to us by God. I'm telling you, Paul did not have this volume. The early church, they didn't have this volume. When they were writing epistles, they didn't know it was going to turn to Bible. They were just doing admonitions. You understand what I'm saying? They were writing to the church. It's just like me writing from Akure to church here because I can't come. And I never knew that it's going to be so relevant in the future. So it was by God's wisdom that this thing actually became a volume that we can make reference to. So don't add any additional thing to it. Don't make it look mystical. As a matter of fact, you can have this Bible and you don't have the Word of God. Because Abraham lived in his days with his word without a document. And he had God. I said to everybody, this word is like the wall that describes the boundaries of the kingdom. Activities are inside. If you can't get the activities inside, and all you know is the wall, you are not in. The word will not tell me not to travel in the morning tomorrow. This thing. It is the Spirit that will bring the word to me and that order. But the template of hearing will be described by this. And when anything is outside the boundary of this, I know it's not God. Put your hands together for Jesus. So having established this, I think we can have a thorough discourse in the weekend. So that you won't say, I won't come tomorrow. This guy is not speaking from Ephesians. One of of the reasons why we, one basic principle, they that compare themselves with themselves, they are what? They are not wise. It is not an activity of God's kingdom. This book does not have lesser, there's no lesser volume and bigger volume. There is no inferior volume and superior volume. Anytime you open this book, whatever page, trust the Holy Spirit to lift the word of God out of this experience to you. Because reading this book is not the word of God. It is reading it that, in reading it that you arrive at the word of God. The word of God is not written word on face value. No. Neither is it gesticulation or language. Let me tell you something that amazes you. I used to be a bit foolish. That's why I said I'm more experienced than some of you. Several years ago, I was going to be 40. And I told God, how do I spend my 40th? And he said, I want you in Israel. And that's one beautiful thing I love. I love the Jewish life. And I'm going to talk about the Jewish life so much. Because we can't understand citizenship of the kingdom except we understand the nationality of Israel. We can't understand clearly. God actually raised a prototype. He said, it's just like the architect. When they want to do a house, I remember several years back, there was going to be a building that my uncle wanted to erect. And he placed it in the sitting room. When we get there, we show us, this is the parking space, everything. In fact, even the nitty-gritty, everything, the only thing we don't do is to enter inside. The color, everything. Well, you know, in about 3-4 years after, he actually took us there. It looked exactly like what we saw on the table. And God has a way of giving us a valid picture of what he's doing. And one of it is that he raised a nation that we can look into and find out what exactly God is doing. Now, let me say this. I had a very funny experience. I don't know if I've shared it with where some of you were before. When I got to Israel, I had a good time because it was just me. I had so much of fun. I was going everywhere. And I was going to the Palestinian nation because it would require I go to the Palestinian nation. And when I was going, the person that was taking me around told me that, look, okay, Asaya, in order for you to have a 2-day stay that will be beautiful, I will take you to a pastor's guest house. It's not a big hotel. Mind you, all my accommodations were being paid by the ambassador, the Nigerian ambassador to Israel. So I had a driver to myself, I had a security to myself. I was a big man. So my driver, when I just first got there, I thought I was depending on my money. So when I got to the hotel, I said, I saw sludge, I saw juice, fresh juice. My eyes was choking. And I said, please, juice, how much is it? He said, I think maybe $3 or $4. I checked my pocket. I said, my zibber, is he no way over there? And by the time I was taking the juice and I was paying, my guy came and said, you don't pay anything here. Don't put us in trouble. And you guys pay for everything. But it's up there. And you have me slush because you are making big party. So, you know, when I was going to Palestine, he told me, sorry, he was even apologizing that I'm taking you to a guest house, not one of those 5-star. But why I'm taking you there is that you'll be able to relate with a man, he's a pastor, he's a reverend. Okay, I said, I would like that. I don't mind. The place is secured and beautiful. Don't worry, I'll go there. And when we got there, he introduced me to this clergy who had a collar on. And we greeted, oh, you Nigerian, yeah, me Nigerian. You know, we have fun. And he said, took me to my room and he said, see you later in the evening. I should have my rest. But the first thing that shocked me was that when we got there, he greeted me, Salam alaikum. I said, Where I'm from, when you say salam aleikum, you must be a conk. So I wanted to challenge you. But I kept quiet that maybe because he is a Muslim, the man wanted to. Then I came downstairs. I had his son making calls. He's also a pastor. And he said, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. Ah. I said, oh yeah, one man though. These people want to set me up, really. But you know, so I was not prompted to say, hey, you Christian? He said, yeah, I'm a Christian. He said, you saying Allah Akbar? He said, yeah, it means Allah is great. It means God is great. I said, why are you saying Allah? He said, Allah is God. I said, Allah is not God. To amaze me, by the time they were doing their devotion, they brought their Bible out. It was all Arabic. Everything in that Bible was Arabic. Ah! I said, is this Bible? They said, yeah, that's our Bible. It's Arabic Bible. Ah! When they were reading it, they were reading their Bible like they were reciting the same Quran. So my eyes opened. I said, Oh. So, Arabic is actually not, it's not spiritual, it's language. So I can speak revelation in Arabic. So many of you here think it is when I say dimension. That is when it's revelation. There is revelation in Arabic. In Greek. Some of you, you'll be fascinated if it is Greek. You say, Bible is written, New Testament is written in Greek. Yeah. There is Arabic Bible. They say, when we got back to Israel, they told me, you say, Shalom Aleikum. When you go to Palestine, you say, Salam Aleikum. It's the same thing. It's peace be unto you. It's greeting. It's not demon that is talking. Our sights have a way of affecting our reception. Do you know if that person had not introduced these people to me as pastors, I would have cut off from them immediately I got to that hotel. I went late. No way. I would have just stayed in my room without fellowshipping with anybody. But I have a whole evening of tutelage about Arabic. That Arabic is just one of those languages. And that Arabic actually has adopted a Bible. And there were more Christians in Palestine than in Israel. More Christians. I encountered more Christians amongst the Palestinians than the Jews. So later I made it a constant thing. I always want to go to Israel. Always, always. Even on the day Israel. Because I learned so much. There are some of you here, your psyche is so adjusted to think that the word of God can only be communicated in English. The way I'm speaking a bit French now, you feel, that man gets bored. Some of you, if you end up being in a village where there's no English-speaking church, you will be cut off. You'll be like fish out of water. I traveled sometimes back. I was in the village, and in the morning I decided to fellowship in one church. I've forgotten the name of the church. That man was speaking. He was bringing the word of God with depth of revelation, and he was speaking Yoruba without interpreter. He was teaching, teaching deep. But because you, all of you, are so westernized, if you get back to the village now, you can't cope. The word of God is not a language. Let me tell two people. Let me tell another person, the language of God is spirit. Let me tell someone else, spirit is sweet. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let me see if I can touch, because I don't know, do I still have another session, Abby? Tomorrow, Abby? Okay, so let me see where we can start from. At least, I think we'll be a bit more receptive with my admonition. To know that if it is not coming in your color, it doesn't mean. But some of you say it's not speaking like Pastor Shi. Amen. Glory to God. All right, let us go to our theme of the day. Okay, please come. I need to check the timing. I'm supposed to end by. Alright. We are going to Obadiah chapter 1 verse 20. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. Can you just hold on with somebody beside you? And we just say a prayer for a sick mom. I'm sensing a very strong urge, a very strong nudge of the Spirit of God to release a sick mother from that position of sickness. There is someone among us here who has a sick mother, and that is going to distract you, is going to distract your family, and that woman is not meant to die. And we use the authority of the church. I will release that woman from sickness. Can you just pray in the spirit for a moment? Fari bosata ladia. Monehensi profetali broshi kradia bosata. Breni heti fale brondishi broheti avronos. Balea kalabo supre televi andahati. Rahashahata. Now saying your understanding, we release that person that is signified by the Spirit out of that sickness in the name of Jesus. We command you, spirit of infirmity, loose your hold of her in the name of Jesus. We recover her from the position of sickness. We recover her into health in the mighty name of Jesus, to the glory of the Lord. Thank you, everlasting Father. Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Obadiah chapter number 1. We are reading from verse 20. Okay, that's good. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. I'm going to list some assignments for you. I want you to go and detail all the enemies that troubled Israel. Detail them before tomorrow. That you can identify prominent enemies that troubled Israel. Then, now take out Egypt, Babylon, and Edom. Edomites. Okay? Take out those three ones and do a proper search on them. Look at Assyria, look at the Amorites, look at all of them, but take out those three. Because all of these things describe systems that the church will have to survive. They describe systems. They are mountains, that the mountain of the Lord shall be exalted above. They have representation in your today's life. Okay? Look at them. And okay, here we are going to look more at Esau, which is Edomite, right? We are going to look more at Esau, But look at the trend of the enemies of Israel. The one that signifies bondage, which is Egypt. Okay? Look at all of them and ask God for their relationships. Okay? And look particularly at Esau, because it's the one of the is the one that is closely related to the church. Okay? Look at Babylon. Look at all of them. Amen. That's just an assignment for you. And Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. And we are going to be dealing with words and definitions more today. We are going to look at Saviors. Or probably before we look at Saviors, we look at Mount Zion. We look at the Mount of Esau. So generally, we won't even consider what is mountain. What is the significance of mountain? Why is God always using mountain? And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. We'll probably look at the kingdom again. Why are we always talking about the kingdom being the Lord's? Hey, the question that somebody asked me before is, why are we always saying the kingdom of God is going to come? God owns everything. Is it not his kingdom? Haven't you read the book of Psalms 24? The earth is the Lord's. The fullness thereof. The world. And what? You know, the earth and the world is different. What's the earth? Huh? Earth is the structure, the mother earth that carry everyone. What is the world? The systems upon it that have witnessed several civilizations. God says it's his own. Are these systems corrupt? Yes. But God said it's his own. So why is he saying his kingdom will dominate as a future tense, when it is also his own? And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Why? Why? Have you asked that question before? Is it that God is struggling to get the heart back to himself? When he said the heart is the Lord's. When Daniel said he rules in the affairs of men. He will say the kingdom is the Lord's. And we say all authorities, all governments, all power are of the Lord. And some of them are satanic. And yet, it's of the Lord. And we need to break that down so that we understand saviors from Zion. We need to break that down so that we understand why saviors from Zion. Why deliverers from Zion? Because another word used in that place is deliverers. The deliverers will come from Mount Zion. They will judge the Mount of Esau. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. That means God will possess that kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, I think I first need to begin to address the issue of God's ownership. God's ownership. In terms of this earth and the world system. Okay? And I think the most comfortable place to start from is, maybe we should start from the beginning itself. When God created the heavens and the earth, this present earth, what did he do? He created man and handed the earth over to man. So, by so doing, he gave man the right of authority over the earth with the intention of extending his rulership to the earth. God's system of establishing his rulership in the earth is by putting man there. It's by putting man in charge. Alright? And he totally handed man over. And he gave man what it takes. He empowered man. What he did by blessing man was empowerment. He empowered man to be in charge. In fact, when man came here, his major business was even not with civilization. His major business was with the structure. The first assignment of man was not even so winning. It was to bring earth to the shape that heaven wants to see, that God wants to see. His first assignment was to be here and what? Walk the head, like the scripture put it, and tend it. And it gave him the empowerment to do so. The empowerment to do so is to have dominion on the earth. Not only that, it said be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion over every creature. And as a matter of fact, when man came here, he had the capacity to interface every other creature. That's why when Satan wanted to come, he didn't even have the legitimate right to show up. He had to come through influence. And what he influenced was one of the smart animals. How many of you know that serpent is not Satan? He was influenced. He came and influenced an animal on the earth to engage Eve. And that's where the trouble started from. I say this always, that man is the only creature of God that has a sphere of dominion. Angels don't even have. Man is the only creature that is landlord. By God's making. Those are one of the things that David saw and said, what is man? That thou art mindful of him. And even this man's assignment is so interesting to God. I tell people, the earth and the nature, the earth, nature, and its composition is not a mistake, it's not aberration. And that's some emphasis I think we also need to do again and again. We need to tell people that being in the flesh like this is not a mistake, because I learned that some of you want to become angels. It's not a mistake. It is by divine ordination. God was very intentional when he made us perishable and vulnerable. And the whole essence of that is that so that we can, as he's handing over the earth to us, we can be a dependent being. A man will never discover vulnerability as long as he's still looking up to God. When he disobeys, he will realize his vulnerability. So vulnerability is intentional. So that the only way we can be covered will be God. Man is designed to be dependent. That's why it's designed to be vulnerable. The negotiation serpent brought was for man to become independent. You will know, as God knows, to discern evil and good. You'll be able to do your thing yourself. And the day he began to do his thing himself, he discovered he was naked. Have he always been naked? Yes! Why didn't he discover there was so much in sin in God that I can't see himself? When things call your attention to yourself, they are making you to live in disobedience. They are making you to distrust God. But when everything is about God, you don't have considerations for whatever he asks you to do. You just believe that is the best thing to do. Am I communicating? Because we have to discuss where is this issue of possessing the kingdom coming from. So when God put man in charge, he was so deliberate about his makeup, about everything. The only thing is, as vulnerable as he is, he knew he will have the capacity to do whatever as long as he's wearing his glory. And his glory was based on intimacy. Man was so conscious of God. He was filled with God consciousness that he couldn't see anything else. It was Satan that was calling his attention to negotiate another level of living. There is no other level of living that God has called man into except to be fully God conscious. That's the pattern. So the more you see yourself, the more you see trouble. In fact, man's way of assessing himself is by what he has not accomplished. So when he's coming to pray, he says, "I want to be in calling." Man is not designed to come for competition. One of the troubles that the fall brought to us is that we became competitive. We lost identity. So you only want to become what you see. What you see around, not what you see here. Okay. That was the trouble. So as long as God will make his dominion to be on the earth, he put a man there, and that man he made his makeup such that he will always be dependent on him. And the intimacy was so much that man did not need to do it religiously. It was his natural habitat. Intimacy with God was, Adam was not praying. He was living. Part of his living was to discover God is around, to engage him. In fact, God was the one engaging him more than he was engaging God. But there was a day, the gap started coming. The gap. And when the gap started coming, you know, how many of you have read Genesis over and again? The day man began to have his own perspective, that he was beginning to see from his own perspective. When God came, God had not started talking. He had heard God's voice. Did you realize that? Immediately God said, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard your voice." Can you give me that scripture? So hearing God is actually a system. It's not event. Hearing is more than voice.
Yes, sir.
It could involve gesticulations.
Yes, sir.
Like when my mom takes us to party those days, and he doesn't want us to eat, he won't talk. He will just do like this. What beer that would get me? The anything they bring to us, body on in my head. If he takes us to visit our friends, he just like this. Then, okay, I will take something, I'll kill a man, one more ego. Then I look at my mom's face again. Then I say, Motionima. Even if I've not seen anything from her, I know my mom's move. I will hear her.
It's a system. I'm used to her. And sometimes my mom will still want to tempt you. She has given you the sign. Oh, why not Jen? What is Jen? Jen, Jen. I shame you, Jen. I don't know if any of you have been there before. So we used to have mummies like that. God bless our mummies. It's a system. I don't know where we missed it, but we need to get it all recovered and get to that robust. When God has not even given you an audible, he just gives you a nudge. You picked it. That was the atmosphere of Adam. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Before God spoke, I spoke, he had heard. Okay, we should take it from 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking, not talking. That was exactly the word I'm looking for. I have two dogs in my house. They bit me. One day, God used that dog to talk to me. I was crying in the house. Daddy, you know, when I'm getting into that my street, sometimes I've been in Iju for long, and I'm coming back. When I'm three houses away, and they hear the sound of this engine, they will start barking. I've not even pressed my phone. Those dogs are the guys in the house will tell themselves that Pastor is coming. No. Just because those dogs picked it. I have not even pressed my horn. The sound of the engine, they are aware. There is something intimacy does to us. Some of you are trying to find God's voice. Say, yesterday, Timothy said to that city, can he conquer the suffer from you? Can he conquer the suffer from you? I'm ashamed of Christians that talk like that. Are you a carrier of Kinika? So, the dogs will start barking, and when I get inside, and the Lord said to me one day, he said, these boys, they can pick you, these dogs, they can pick you from afar. And when I move around your room, sometimes you don't even know. How many of you have entered some atmosphere and you just know you need to start praying? That's your father. God is more relational than any other thing. If every other thing happens and we don't arrive at this point, we are joking. We can't bring an expression of the kingdom. Not even contents of he just brings his presence and you know. In fact, by the virtue of bringing that presence, you know what to do. One day I was coming to the office to fight. I said, I have never shown them I can. But they shall know that I can. Eh, dami mo, mi jeje na tini. Ha, simba dele ni egba. Immediately I entered my office and I wanted to sit down. I just felt, it was even feeling from the inside. I was just aware that I'm working out my own deal. That it wasn't God's deal. I was just about to detach, like Adam said, he knows good from evil. You know the mistake? How can you say you know good from evil?
For you to know good from evil, you have to see from God's lens.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That dimension called good and evil is God's prerogative. It's a bad negotiation. That is coming. That was exactly what Lucifer did. To have his own sense of judgment. When you arrive at your own sense of judgment, you cut off from God. Your own sense of judgment is your will. If you must be empowered, you must come through God's sense of judgment. How can you say, I know good from evil? He said you will be like God, knowing. And you see, the most tempting part of life, if when enemy begins to tempt you with the things that add value to you, to self, that you will be something. Oh, Kondena, she boy, boy, long go boy, yeah. You were going to that group. Some of us thought you were committed fornication. I saw one, I remember, maybe it was Watch World magazine. They said the sin was adultery. It wasn't. The highest form of sin is unbelief. It's the mother of every other sin. When the Holy Ghost will come, he will reprove the world of sin. Of sin because they believe not in me. When you doubt God, you can do anything, including murder. You are not just bold enough to express the rest of the things. Oh, see, I've never fornicated in my life. Because your mother is wicked. That's why. You would have fornicated mother, not everybody that had abortion. But oh, my God, you know, some of us who were bold, we became rascals. We ran out of the house. We didn't return. Some of you were not bold enough. Because I just felt that at age 15, I was being humiliated too much. When I'm getting back to the house, my mom would say, oh yeah, she boxed the hell away. Oh yeah, my camera show and let her come. Marco. Mbolo siri singlesi. Over in your limo, you know. Over do limo, you know. A 15-year-old boy. I cannot even own somebody else's eraser. Oya shi ma se tefu. Those of you are going to be mothers, you are better change your style. That style is obsolete. Because you find boys who will be very bold like me, who will say, ah, Ote Togo. What brought me into this is the basic thing, what we call sin, is unbelief. When God said this, and you believe that is everything about it. That's the life it's called. When you can't see except from the lens of God, you believe in Him. So the negotiation was for man to have some self-worth. And one angle he was coming from was knowledge. And today, knowledge can still tempt us. Are you here? Even knowledge of the Bible. Some of you, because you can share, you make yourself, your head will be swollen. You say, Pastor Mode, who yeki pastor your war become? Or share dear lano, you know? But only problem come. Oh, be war eternal life. Oh, you can't cover me. I used to have a friend. When you know those days that we used to do preacher boy. Now, Otiremi. That's why I want to talk to some of you who just want to share always. We ask you to sit down, you share. Not that you even know the thing. You see, I just want to tell you the gnosis. One boy came to my house. Whenever I'm going upstairs, I'll be looking at it. He'll be sharing it. He goes, oh God. I will walk and go up. Those who come to my house know that I don't talk to people. I'll just greet you slightly and go away. But I'm watching you. The boy is the most defected human being I've seen with character. He can't even watch his knicker. Yes, he can share everything. He shares to the extent that his genes are very dirty. He's not responsible. Some of you are sharing, you can't even get a job. Let me just establish this foundation. I'm coming tomorrow. So if you give me your microphone. If you like, don't give me transport money. I'll go and bring pastor. The sign of a rebellious life is an independent life. It can do anything. It's not just bold enough to express all. It's got all. It's got all. It's not just bold enough. It's got it. It's ready for it. I was in a meeting to speak to one of my friends, and the leader of our choir, as I sat down, I saw the leader of our choir. Putting a frog up, a poisonous frog, would throw it up. Then the last time, he just opened the mouth and the frog landed in the mouth. Wow. I said, what is this? So I opened my eyes, it is in the spirit. Then he was experimenting everything with that frog. And the Lord said to me, that is a demon. Tempting that girl. Talk to her. She's about to be taken into a serious poison. So I called her. I said, I saw you in a bad manner in the spirit, and I just want to talk to you that you are playing with something. Then he said, Pastor, can I trust you? I said, you can. That's why I came to you. He said, I don't want to talk here. I said, so let's go and talk in my car. So I put the AC on. I said, sit down. He said, in the recent times, Daddy, I've been thinking, I just want to lose my virginity. But, of course, this is a Christian atmosphere. There's no bad boy. I said, Ishuba lagbara koman, igbala. I said, it's not that a man is trying to tell you, come and lose your virginity. That's the only one I know. He said, no, me, I just want to lose this thing. He said, I'll wake up in the night and be looking at what are the means, who can I get? That I don't want to have a boyfriend. I just want to have sex and feel it. I said, yes, there's a frog in your mouth. So I said, hello there, a demon is tampering with your thoughts. So we need to pray. And we prayed. Alright, I'm just telling you that a man is complicated. As you're looking at all of us that we are looking so fine now, so composed, we are capable of so much that you can't even imagine. And the flesh don't go. That's why it dies daily. The death we say is not that it has died. It has died. The flesh does not die like that. You put it to death. So by two very I'm large monolith. As we are here, including the most senior preacher here talking now. is capable of anything. If he does not subject himself continually to the law of the Spirit. Why? Because the only thing man owns is the capacity for decision. It's a free moral agent. He has one thing that is called his will. And that's why the experience of our new birth is to hand over that will to him. The first experience of the kingdom is to hand over that will to him. Praise God forever. And I kept talking about this foundation of the kingdom, that Adam was actually, man was actually supposed to be an extension of the rulership of God in the heavens, in the earth. And you know, there was an interruption. The interruption was what? Sin. So man fell. Even the jurisdiction of his intimacy, he left the place. He was taken out of Eden. And that was why the journey of recovery came. The intention of man, the intention of God, is that the earth should be dominated by his will. His will. That's why when Jesus taught us to pray, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." That's what Jesus has come to restore. The earth should be dominated by his will. But as it is now, by the reason of the fall of man, man arrived at his own will. He was able to discern, to tell what is good and what is not good on his own. That's the fall. When you have the capacity to tell what is good and what is not good, if Pastor Sheyi tells me, I'll tell him, Mi Orobe. Not necessarily. That's why you think. That's why when God says, "Don't touch this," say, "Kini, kilo wa mbego." The first day I slept with a woman, I thought I would die. Because they made it look like something. When those days, when I started going, when my mom is coming to the room, I say, everyone, everyone know the Amura. Ah, he was in Mura. Otinda washo. Why late Otinda boy? To ba from a lomo no you. So when we used to do all those touch girls, those in those secondary school days, we were very scared. Until one day I succeeded in doing the thing. I said, I thought the girl would become pregnant the next morning. So I went to see her. I said, "Hello, you are okay, sir?" I said, "I'm okay." I said, "So for me, kilo shele." Well, I waited 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. When you're okay now. I just wish you had a thing. Welcome, bikini, Derubawani. Welcome, bikini, Derubawani, Jadeng, my dear. Because we wanted to judge by ourselves. We are not satisfied with what God called it. We need to tell what is evil and what is good by ourselves. So our will became dominant in the earth. And that's where the trouble came. The kingdom of the earth became the man's self-kingdom. And that's what we are still advancing till today. And God wants to recover it. Man's self-kingdom. Ruled by unbelief in God. Even all the systems, all the high systems of the world today are still annexing themselves to say that man can survive without God. That's the end of it. Democracy, science, technology. I was going to pray for some ladies one day. The husband said, "Oh, God, if you go, go, and let go. Man, from the Tower of Babel, is having the same representation. To have a self-determined world that is not committed to obedience in God. That's the real reason why the kingdom must be recovered. And as I said earlier, let me close here. Because I'll still be here tomorrow by God's grace. Are you blessed? Yes. And as I said earlier, man in his composition is not a mystic. God actually has a purpose for designing the earth and actually make man this perishable. Okay? Yes, it does. And when he wanted to start the process of recovering the earth, what he first did is for the Godhead to also come to become man in all the sense of being man. We don't understand man. We need to begin to discern man in purpose. I always say this, when angels fell, there was no big deal. There was no plan of redemption. The Elohim did not sit on a meeting. The Elohim, when they wanted to create man, they sat. Let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. And when man fell, the Elohim said, no, this one cannot go. It's dangerous. So we have to recover man. And the Elohim said, the only way to make that happen is for the Elohim to become man. And in the sense of man. And I love that scripture. Everybody that knows me very well knows I love John chapter 1, verse 1, verse 14. And the Word, because the Word is part of the Godhead. There are three that bears witness in the heavens. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. But the earth will never know the Father except the Word comes to establish another position that is in the tree of life. It's called the Son. It's an extension of the Elohim. And that designation was where God was taking man to. His Son was supposed to be in charge of the earth. But in the making of the Son, there was an interruption. So the Word came and became flesh. And when John was giving testimony, he said, we saw him. When we saw, the Word became flesh. We began to analyze him. We intelligently began to investigate him. And we saw him. We saw him in glory. And when we began to discriminate and investigate the glory, he was like the only begotten of the Father. We saw his glory as a Son. But when John was giving us his testimony, he said something that was so wonderful. He said, when the Word, that is part of Elohim, became flesh, he dwelt among us. There was a time I will always talk about dwelling among us. You know what it means that he dwells in our love? He lived in our street. He went to carpenter's workshop. Some of you think spirituality is staying out of class. Jesus dwelt among us. He coped with us. He went to class. He did a job. In fact, he had all the experience a man should have. And it was legitimate. Some of you think spirituality is, I am not secular. I cannot touch the secular. You are a liar. If God wants you to be in heaven, when you get saved, he will catapult you to heaven. When Jesus was resurrected, he was having a deal with his disciples. They said, well, when will you restore the kingdom to Israel? If we want to go where you say, you will be in deal with power. It is here first. When he was raising his disciples, he sent them on IT. He said, I'm sending you as sheep in the midst of wolves. You know, I don't understand. I don't understand why you would tell me my territory and the way you want to describe it and you like me to go. He said, brethren, come to meeting this morning. And when you come to meeting, he said, now I'm releasing you to go and represent him. Behold, you are sheep. You see, this place is where you're going, you are wolves. They are wolves. Ah! And there are many years, sir. But it's not. What God is trying to teach us is that vulnerability is legitimate. It's legitimate. That on your own, you are going to always be like a sheep among wolves. That your survivor is going to be dependent on your allegiance to your standing. It's by design. God makes us so. That's why sometimes when we get carried away and we are beginning to sin, what it does is to chastise us. You know what chastisement does? It makes you see that you are vulnerable. Ogamaro koti debi koko. Maniko fweni maniko fwemoru kongpiri. Yes, Paul said, I was going to be exalted above measure. He released a messenger of Satan. He began to buffet me. I started praying. Only was making me grow. He said, I prayed three times. If Paul said, I prayed three times, not your kind of prayer. Paul that looked at the old church and said, I pray in tongues more than ye all. And he said, I prayed three times. I do that in London. And the only answer God gave him is, oh God, it is, once the breath, it's a long. They are beginning to say you are one, what did they call him in that place? Jupiter or something. Why, Jackie, John Moe, pay your nail. He was going to put it in here. Come on, my one, no. Ah. So he said, God said, it's so that I won't be exalted above measure. Uh-huh. So Jesus, yes, there is a measure. And you have to keep that standard. And the only way to live is to be dependent forever. This is where we end this morning. That is the pattern of us introducing the kingdom. It is tongues that will introduce the kingdom. It will be back to basis. We will even go back that our lives will not just affect men. It would even affect like it was in the beginning. The first place was garden. Nature. Are we still here? That's why I said in Romans 8, I think verse 19, he said the earnest expectation of all creature is for the manifestations of the sons of God. That even creations are waiting. They knew that the fall of man has brought trouble to everything. Not just to man. And the way of recovering the kingdom is for us to go back to God's pattern. And God's pattern is that we should become sons. And who are sons? Not born of the will of man. Or of the flesh. But of God. They will be here. They will subject themselves to the earth atmosphere.
Though it could be intimidating, but they will survive it. Why? Because they are son of a great father. And the real, oh my God. What are the things that John said he saw in Jesus? Thank you, Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord says, if you pay attention to these things, you shall not be lacking in the knowledge of the Lord. If you pay attention to these things, you shall rise above the limitations of man. You shall live even here on earth as the sons of God. If you pay attention to these things, you shall not be found wanting even when the Father requires of the destiny of man. If you pay attention to these things, you shall not be lacking, says the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this is where we can tie it. The advent of the kingdom is the advent of the sons. You know, when Jesus came, the language changed. He came and began to preach the kingdom. Because the sons are the custodians of the kingdom. They are the saviors in Zion. I will come to that in tomorrow. I'll talk about Zion. I'll talk about salvation. But we have to understand who are the custodians of this kingdom. They are the sons. They will be here on earth. But they will have an expression of the Father. Because they will totally and completely represent the kingdom. They have a tie to the Father. You know what the Spirit does is to bring back the tie between us and the Father. That's what he does. They will have a tie with the Father. He will reveal the Father to us. The Father wants to be visible on the earth. And the way sons walk is what makes the visibility of the Father real on the earth. So real. Yela hasi folabiha ton de livorabian toliai arabosita kreshikabore. The Word became flesh. Divinity wants to be visible in the earth, dwelling among us. Do you know, this verse, this volume is testimony of men who dwelt among us. The reality of our life is not in these settings and the props. It's way beyond. It's way beyond the excitement we create in our atmospheres. We beheld His glory,
He didn't even call a conference for us to see his glory. He was just living his life. And the proportion of his life was, he lived was 30 years unnoticed. 3 years noticeable. That's the proportion of the life of a son. What is that proportion? 10%. 10 to 1. Okay. So your public life, spirit engagement is supposed to be 1% of your private life. If you can pray here, 1%. We should be sure you are praying the other 10 in your secret place. If you can talk here, if you can talk to men, 1%. We should be sure you can do 10 other. Do I get the proportion right? If you did 30 in the public, if you did 30 in the private, unnoticed, 3 in the public, and the 3 is still vibrating and resonating till now, it means you can't make so much effect. The real volume of your book is to be unnoticed. What can you do without men? That's the testimony of the one who became flesh. Let me show you another testament of the one who became flesh. He was incapacitated. He didn't have his personal fashion. He didn't have personal interest. He was just a sheep being led everywhere. For they that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Get on your feet. Let's pray. You saw him in chapter 5 of John. How many of you have seen him in chapter 5 of John? I like testimony of John about him. He became flesh. He was among us. Say to your friend, he dwells among us. He was in school with us. He's just as good as saying he was in class with us. He was at work with us. But we beheld his glory. What is visible about you at class? Is it you? Or the Father? Or what the Father wants to do? You know why we could see the glory of a begotten son? Was that they now began to investigate him more. Like in John chapter 5, when John by the Spirit investigated his son again, he saw something in verse 19. Let me show you what he saw in verse 19. Look at the son. Look at the son so that you know if you are conformed to the son. Now he answered, and then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, who is he talking about? Himself. The Son can do nothing of himself. That's the stature of sons. They don't know how to do not anything. But what is he? The Father do. Can you see the Father is my question? Is your expression? Hello. What lens are you seeing from? Is it your eyes? Or you're just getting a glimpse of what the Father is? Is it whatever the Father is doing? He can do nothing of himself. It's applicable in the carpenter's workshop. It's applicable in the obedience to his parents. It's applicable when he went to the synagogue and he wanted to stay there, and the parents came and said, hey, why did you leave home? He wanted to tell them, I will stay here. But he saw the father say, go home. So he left. He went back home. And he was obedient to them. He was an obedient boy at home. It was applicable. It was not just a microphone thing. It was not just a ministry thing. It was a live thing. And so the testimonies here in the four gospels were just his life. He didn't organize the crusade. Even when the Father was showing him the way to the cross, he didn't have a choice. The Son, stay with me, the Son, can do nothing of himself. But what he seeth the Father do, whatsoever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. Can I show you another one? Let me show you. Verse 30.
He was referring directly to himself. He's still a son. I can of myself do nothing. What does a son know to do? Nothing. He doesn't have self-stature. No self-pride. Even when he preached and you are not happy, he's not moved. So far is what the father asked him to say. He's not waiting for applause. He's not trying to carve a niche. He's not raising a brand. It's whatever the father does. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is what? It's just, righteous, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father. Stay with me, the will of the Father. That's what makes the Son. The will of the Father, which has sent me. These are the ones that will bring the kingdom and recover the earth back to their Father. And to them that believe in him, he gives the power to become sons of God. It's a journey of believing in him. Can you pray? Just talk to God by yourself. I don't know. I think I can close here. Just talk to God. My phone is in front. Why he said there will be holiness in Zion. Because you won't do your stuff. It's whatever he wants you to do. Just talk to God. I give you a few minutes to talk to God.
Baba wa miri, ora mi pada o tu mi se o, o so mi domo. Baba wa miri, ora mi pada o tu mi se o. Iye iye iye, moriye o, motiriye o, oh, iya ini peku. Iye iye iye, moriye o, motiriye pe o. Baba wa miri, ora mi pada o, Baba wa mi ri. Ora mi gbada o. O tu mi se o. O. O sa mi dama. Baba wa mi ri. Ora mi gbada o. O tu mi se o. O. O sa mi dama. Christi wa bi ri. O la mi pata o. O tu mi se o. O sa mi dama.
Oh, Thank you, Father. Thank you. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We celebrate what you have, who you have made us to be. Thank you for searching us out. We didn't even know that we needed to look for you, but you found us out. You washed us. You cleaned us. And you are still cleaning us. Transforming us. That we may look like exactly what you want us to be. We celebrate you tonight. We say, blessed be your name, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Can we celebrate the Lord Jesus in the house tonight?
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.